We spend a lot of time analyzing baseball. We spend a lot of time analyzing all the sports. It's fun. It's interesting. It's challenging. Sometimes you just sit back and enjoy the weird stuff that happens. I haven't seen a story like this in a long time. The Twins are just dead in the water. Kyle Farmer hasn't gotten a hit all year. He brings a summer sausage to the dugout. People adopt it as a mascot. They go on a tear. They win 10 straight games, have the first road trip of six games or more in franchise history where they don't have any losses, and they rise in the standings. This, you know, Roy, you've been around baseball your entire life. You've been around big leaguers your entire life. Where does this rank among the goofy stories you've experienced?
Oh, this is one of the top for sure. The number of times that I've read the word sausage as relates to baseball is amazing to me. I mean, I could never even think about that juxtaposition. But you know, teams go through big swings of winning streaks and losing streaks when usually when the team is not quite right yet. I know that we did that in, I think it was 86, as the eventual World Series champion was being put together, and as younger players were developing into superstars. And we didn't have enough pitching, so we ran off 10 in a row, and I think we lost an equal amount, at some point in time, in that season, and ended up not doing very well. But so how does that relate to now? Well, the Twins had injury after injury after injury. They don't have the bullpen until now, more recently, that they thought they were going to have. And things have just been, just been off. And that can be the cause of big streaks going one way, or the other. As opposed to this, with regard to this team, it's a little bit, I don't expect the long losing streak, the big volatility of wins and losses and streaks and stuff like that. I think it really is tied to they're not having the team that they thought they were going to have. And sometimes you go through stretches where the guys aren't hitting, and most notably Kyle Farmer, but the guys, weren't hitting, and then all of a sudden they do, for whatever reason, sausage or not, they do. And as guys get healthy and as the bullpen gets better, then things are a little bit back to normal. So I would not expect, these kind of big swings the rest of this year.
All right, let's get into superstitions. This particular Twins team, this particular winning streak, how are they doing it, and how bizarre it all is. This is Chin Music. This is our baseball show at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or any show at TalkNorth.com, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We have Krasinski on the Wolves these days. We have Russo on hockey. Jeff Diamond ripped a bunch of people in his podcast, the former Vikings general manager on the Vikings draft. Check it all out at TalkNorth.com. We do appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services, Your Boat Club, Minnesota Masonic Charities, and Twill in the Dining Galleria. Lavelle, you and I have been baseball writers for a long time. We see and hear a lot of weird stuff. Baseball's the weirdest sport, right? Football's dead serious. It's like people think they're in the military. Basketball, it's, kind of this jangly, athletic, spectacular athletic sport. Hockey's about grinders. Baseball is the sport that's about weirdness, right? Weird stuff happens all the time. Where does this rank for you on some of the weird stuff you've experienced?
Yeah, it's up there. The other thing, too, is that baseball is every day. So you can get on a good roll, you can get on a bad roll. And if you're on a bad roll, sometimes you just need something that's going to take your worries away off your mind, free your mind, so your talent will follow, I remember Kansas City Royals one year. They were struggling. They were trailing late in the game, and then the cameras found someone in the stands holding an owl, a stuffed owl. And the Royals came back and won that game. And sure enough, like there's like two or three other games within the next couple of weeks where the owl appeared in the stands and the Royals would win. And so Rally Owl was born. And so people were showing up at the stadium with owls and the players were getting into it and all that stuff. And with the Twins, the smell of those RBIs year, I think that was 05, 06. That happened, I think, just by a mistake. Someone went down on second base and just pointed at their nose for fun, and everybody like embraced it, and smell those RBIs became a thing, and the guys started cheering for each other to drive in runs so they can rub their noses and stuff like that. And of course, Ozzie Guillen, the gift that keeps on giving, was complaining about how good the Twins are one day and called them the Little Piranhas. The Twins ended up making that a marketing strategy, and it kind of took off the second half of the year. And the Twins and the players got behind it, and you know the Twins were giving away little stuffed piranhas at games, and it became kind of a rallying cry. So it's amazing. A little aside from that, I had a small role in that whole piranha thing because growing up in Chicago, there was a year in which the Rangers were trying to win the division and the White Sox kept beating them, and it drove Dave Rader, the manager, up the wall. And he says, how is this team so successful? They're winning ugly. So winning ugly became their rallying cry that they embraced and rode to, I think they rode to the playoffs a year. Anyway, when Ozzy said the piranha thing, I actually sent Dave St. Peter an email explaining the White Sox story and going, this is something you could get behind. It was half in jest, but apparently St. Peter takes the email to a meeting the next day, and a promotional campaign was born. And so there has been goofy things in baseball through the years, and that's one of them.
You know, guys, I think baseball is the goofiest because it's the most mentally challenging. And obviously, there's mental aspects to every sport. Golf may come the closest to guys being total head cases. But in baseball, since you do play every day and you can get, for whatever reason, you can get on, as Lavelle said, streaks going either way. I think those little goofy things are influential in baseball because of the bunker mentality you have in the locker room as a, you know, as, 24, 25 guys, banded together, trying to take the hill in the face of all different kinds of adversity every single day. I mean, it just is always there. And when you start going bad, like the Twins did, as much as you try to grind your way out of it, sometimes it's kind of the sausage version. The sausage is kind of the mental freedom aspect of, you know, the old days when, you know, the old guys would say, just go out and get drunk tonight, you know, come here, play, you know, come tomorrow, play hungover. Right. And if you play hungover, you're not thinking about anything other than how bad you feel, and you just react to stuff. And I think that's the way, you know, I think getting the sausage going and laughing and all it takes when something like that happens, all it takes is one big hit. And, you know, I'm sorry to say this about baseball, but it shouldn't be that way. I mean, the reason they lost, they weren't playing well and weren't hitting, shouldn't change because somebody got a big hit and they tossed a sausage around. That should not be the case, but it is in baseball.
And I'll, this is another perfect opportunity to use the Oscar Gamble quote.
Well, it's really funny how really that comes up. You think about the sausage, you know, getting the Twins going, and you know, some people don't think it'd be like it is, but it do.
It do. No doubt about it. It's. And, you know, that's the thing is that baseball players have so much downtime during the season. They spend so much time together. They spend so much time in the clubhouse. They have, you know, so you have card games, you have superstitions, you have people, and you have diverse set of characters, an ever-changing diverse set of characters. You know, really, between the 25, 26-man active roster, the coaches, the administrators who are around, the manager, media people, media relations people, you got like 60 people just kind of wandering around killing time half the time. And just weird stuff comes. And as we all know, a lot of the best baseball stories that we could tell to elaborate on this, we can't tell. And we will never be able to tell. That's the way this works.
I guarantee you, though, that the Twins are meeting right now to try and come up with some sort of summer sausage giveaway and to take advantage of this whole thing. Because
well, it should be.
Anything that can be monetized in this day and age usually is.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. Have fun with it. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes all of us, media, athletes, analysts, sometimes we all forget that the whole point of this endeavor is to have fun. This is why we didn't go into, you know, banking or accounting. We wanted to go to a ballpark and enjoy a game. And there's just nothing better than a hot baseball team because, you know, by definition, it can't be the same people winning the game for you every night. It's got to be a lot of different people in a lot of different situations. I will say this. Let's get to the baseball root of this. They're winning a lot of games late. They're winning a lot of close games. There is a reason for that. They're taking better at bats, and the bullpen has been, even before they got Duran back, the bullpen has been outstanding. Roy?
Yeah, really true. The bullpen's been phenomenal. The quality of the at-bats has been really, really good, 180 degrees from where they were before. Kepler has picked them up a lot, obviously. Larnick has picked them up a lot, and hitting gets contagious. People, even if they're looking at it directly or they are just kind of subconsciously, you know, feeling the really good at bats other people have had. I mean, I think Ryan Jeffers has picked them up. Just the grind out tough at bats and hits with two strikes and RBIs in tough situations that he has had. You know, that's the kind of thing that gets contagious, and you get excited about the at bats that each other is having, and so that has gone with a terrific bullpen, and you know, frankly, good enough starting pitching is what I've said all year long. I think with this bullpen, I mean, all year starting coming out of spring training, I really felt like the starting pitching was going to be okay enough with that bullpen if the guys hit. And now we see how much that's true if the guys do, in fact, hit. Let's not get too excited. They played White Sox, Angels, White Sox, two really, when the White Sox were in Minnesota, they were a bad team. They couldn't hit, and they weren't pitching. And the Twins, if they could get into the late innings against the White Sox, you know, bullpen versus bullpen, Twins are going to win. They went out to play the Angels. The Angels were terrible. I mean, couldn't hit, didn't pitch well. Their defense and just the sloppy play was atrocious. And they come back now to a White Sox team that was hot. They won three in a row against, I think, the Rays. And, you know, the guys were supposed to hit or were starting to hit. And good on the Twins. I mean, they matched them at the plate. They matched them against tough pitching. Santana hits a home run against Crochet. I mean, that just like there's that guy is nasty. And he gets them tied going into the later innings, which is exactly what the Twins want. And they beat Kopech, who's got great stuff. I mean, just all around really, really good stuff. I just don't want to get too excited because they played the first seven games they won were against either a really bad team in the Angels or a team that was looking really bad in the White Sox. Now they just have to carry it on doing what they're doing, having these grinding at bats against, they're going to start playing some tougher teams and they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to contend with, you know, with injuries and with lineups that aren't the same as what they thought they were going to have. And they're just going to have to continue those grind them out at bats.
By the way, we're talking here on Friday morning. We don't know what the diagnosis on Buxton is. Doesn't feel like it's going to be good news, but we can't get out ahead of that one. We'll talk more about his injury and the impact on the team next week when we know more. For today, I want to get Lavelle talking about Ryan Jeffers. He, you know, statistically, he might be their best player since the beginning of last year. But first, I want to let you know we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, and we want to thank Your Boat Club.
Got the winter blues? Start planning your summer. Plan on fun and get out in the water with Your Boat Club. Your Boat Club offers boat club memberships and daily rentals with access to over 40 bodies of water and over 400 brand new boats to enjoy. Whether you want to cruise on a pontoon, create waves in a speedboat, or reel in a big one on a fishing boat, Your Boat Club has got you covered. Unlimited boating memberships are available now, starting at just $1.99 a month after a one-time initiation. Life is better on the water. Find out more today at yourboatclub.com.
Thanks also to Minnesota Masonic Charities.
When people think of the Freemasons, they often think of secret handshakes and unusual hats, and of course, the pancake breakfast. Minnesota Masonic Charities would prefer that you think about the work that they do right here in our community. Places like the Masonic Cancer Center at the University of Minnesota or the Masonic Children's Hospital and the Masonic Home in Bloomington. They are just a few examples of the important work that the Freemasons support here in Minnesota. As part of the largest fraternal organization in the world, Masons have consistently answered the call when it comes to charitable needs. We look forward to learning so much more about their many programs here in the weeks to come.
And a reminder, my friend Scott Dayton runs Twill in the Edina Galleria. It is not a chain. It is not a business that moved here from another state. It is a great Minnesota business. They succeed with exceptional, relaxed customer service. They specialize in men's clothing. They are not a department store where you're, you know, the person you're talking to might be working in auto parts next week. They are experts. They have a big slate of events coming up. I recommend signing up for their emails at twillmn.com. They will not spam me to death. They only send something out when they have an event they want you to know about. And hey, spring has arrived at Twill. They have everything from finely tailored, beautiful Italian suits to good golf shorts and good golf shirts. I love wearing both. My best clothes are from Twill. Also, my favorite casual clothes are from Twill. Anything, and if you go on a warm weather destination, while it's still mild here in the spring, anything you want, accessories, comfort shoes, dress shoes, they have it all. TwillMN.com, and thanks to Scott. All right, Lavelle, what are we seeing out of Ryan Jeffers? Is this guy kind of moving towards stardom?
It seems like that. He definitely can put himself in the All-Star game conversation the way he's playing. He leads the team in WAR, and I think he's actually fourth in WAR among all catchers. And that's a list that includes Salvador Perez, who I believe is DH in more than catching at this stage of his career. But the swing adjustments that Ryan made last year, seems like he's taken it another step this year. And I think the quality of the bats has gone up. I think what he's doing is kind of representative of what's going on with the rest of the team. I think they realize that teams, you know, generally teams are hiding fastballs more than ever when they pitch. With the Twins, I think it's to an extreme. And I think they realize they got to stop chasing the stuff that's dropping out of the strike zone to give themselves more competitive at bats. And I think Jeffers has been a great example of that. He's also had a little bit of a look. He's had a couple highlight swings at the ball that's they have dropped in for hits. But hey, you know, over the course of the season, you're going to have those moments and you take those hits any way you can get them. He's showing power. And Rocco has realized this. You know, every year it seems like Rocco's got to make one major move with the bat in order because someone's struggling at the beginning of the year. And this is to get Jeffers, you know, batting higher in the order and to DH him on days that Christian Vasquez is catching. You know, we may see Yair Camargo go up a couple times just when Rocco wants that comfort zone just in case, you know, Vasquez gets hurt or catcher, if he's got both catchers in the lineup and one of them gets hurt. But I think Jeffers could put himself in that conversation, especially if the Twins continue to surge. And you look at his numbers, he's got an OPS over 900. OPS plus is 171 right now. You know, a lot of things are going right for the Twins over this winning streak. I think Jeffers has been front and center of it.
And now, you know, we love having Roy break down hitters. Roy, does Trevor Larnach look different to you this time around?
He looks a lot different. And obviously for the better. He was one of those guys with a real open stance and stride a little bit longer and a little bit in toward the plate. And at like Matt Wallner is. And I think it forced him. It got him missing fastballs that he should hit, getting excited about, you know, about that, getting anxious about that, and being out in front of changeups and breaking balls and swinging at balls in the dirt. He's no longer doing that nearly as much. I mean, all hitters are gonna you know, be hunting fastball and swing and miss a changeup badly, or a slider, back foot slider badly. I mean, everybody does that. It's a question of how much you can cut that down. Hit pitches that you want to hit early in the count and then fight off, you know, wait longer to identify pitches when you have two strikes. And he's doing all that. And I think one of the reasons is that his feet, his stride, a couple of things, a lot slower and under control. His stride into the ball is directly at the pitcher rather than at the plate. He has a much more calm, easy stride at the ball, and I think that's allowed him to get comfortably to real good fastballs, and which eases his mind an awful lot about jumping out there to get fastballs, and so he's hit some changeups, he's laid off some bad changeups and breaking balls to get himself in better counts. Everything looks better. He's got an awful lot of talent, a lot to hit, an awful lot of strength. And I think with this approach he's got going now, I think things just get better and better. Now he's getting to the point where he'll be able to start looking for different pitches and really mess with pitchers. And I'm just really happy for him because he's a good kid and he's got a lot of talent. And I think it's starting to come to the fore now.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how things like that develop, because a year ago we were watching Larnach get passed up by the Matt Wallner trade. But this is an example. You can't just you got to be patient with some guys. It comes quicker for some and later for others. And now roles are reversed. Wallner's trying to find himself at AAA, and Larnach is not looking like a pushover at the plate anymore. So that's the beauty about baseball, because you see developmental paths that go at different arcs and different trajectories. But a lot of times, sometimes a good player gets kind of tails off and a bad player gets good.
Two more quick questions. It's an issue. It's a question of adjustments too. What I was getting at is Larnach, I think, made an adjustment in his approach at the ball, and Wallner hasn't gotten there yet, you know, and I think Wallner's going to have to make a swing mechanics adjustment some way. I mean, I have an idea what I think, but that doesn't really matter. He's got to find something that gets him to the ball easier, like Larnach has done that.
Two more quick topics and we'll wrap things up. The first is just to go back to superstitions. I remember being in Anaheim during the summer of 2002. The Angels were a pretty good team, but they didn't really scare anybody. They didn't have a bunch of superstars. And they started playing the rally monkey late in games on the big screen, and all of a sudden it takes off and they win the World Series. Go back and look. That was not a great team. If Adam Kennedy doesn't go nuts against the Twins might have gone to the World Series that year. And the rally monkey just kind of, it became this thing that worked for them. It didn't cause their success, but it dovetailed with their success. So you never know when this weird stuff is actually going to have a major impact. The other thing,
I hated that thing.
Willie Castro. We're looking at possibly another loss of time on the field for Buxton. And guess what? Castro has really stepped it up lately. He plays a pretty good center field, but he's gotten his swing back. He steals bases. He's kind of a mini Buxton in some ways. Lavelle.
Yeah, you know, and we saw this last year. Remember, Willie was like the great survivor a year ago because every time a roster move was coming up and someone, everybody's going, that's it for Willie. They got to set him down. But Willie found a way to stay relevant all year, you know, stay in the majors and ended up with stealing 30 bags. And no one knew he had that type of base stealing ability. So he got off to a bad start this year. I was wondering if he was being overexposed because they need him right away. But he's another one who was kind of put it together lately. He's taking better at bats. You know, he's making better contact. And I don't know if it's cold weather or what. You know, he has just started to warm up a little bit here. And once again, he is the survivor.
Roy, wrap up the show for us. What do you think?
Well, I think that he's incredibly valuable to the club, and is going to prove it now with playing center field in Buxton's absence, however long that is going to be. Everything Lavelle said is true about this guy, and he really is a tough out. Not only now, and was last year, and now it looks like he's gotten that back, and not just a tough out, but also a guy that can do some damage. That's been the most surprising thing is the home runs and doubles that he's that when he's right, he consistently comes through and in big, you know, big situations. And we've seen that start to happen again this year. I will just throw out a cautionary tale here. I think and we'll wait and see what's up with Buck. But if this is a serious deal, I think it's going to force the Twins to start looking to add some offense. I think they almost have to. So you know, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, it's also going to be fascinating this summer with a team that should be in contention all year long to see if the Poliz will okay any more expenditures, whether it's starting pitching or another right-handed bat to replace Buck. That could be a key to the season.
I think it absolutely is.
All right, good stuff from Roy. Good stuff from Lavelle. For Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, and Brandon Morton, I'm Jim Suhan. We appreciate you listening. Check out all of our sponsors, and we'll talk to you next week.